Welcome to Grace Church's podcast. The message you are about to hear was recorded live during our Sunday service. Sermon notes can be found on our app for both Apple and Android phones. Search Grace 417 in your app store and follow along. And now for our message.
A couple of years ago, one of my kids gave me I think it was a Christmas present. It was a biography. Apparently, I am difficult to buy for. Clothes just don't jump off the rack onto this body, you know? It's not like nothing fits ever. So books are safe. Books always fit. Food always fits, actually, which is part C point A, you know? So I get a lot of books, and I read a lot of books. I really like biography, and one of my kids gave me a biography of Fred Rogers. Raise your hand if you know who Fred Rogers is. Good. Some of you may know him as Mr. Rogers. Really good book. Several things jumped out at me in that particular biography. One of them was something that Mr. Rogers' mother said to Fred Rogers when he was a little boy. I'm going to read you this quote. It says, when I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." Isn't that beautiful? Like in the midst of something dark, which we see darkness around us all the time, it is quite encouraging to be able to look into tragedy, look into turmoil, look into crisis, and see there are people there trying to make a difference for good. Always, there is a need for men and women to help. Always, there is a need for boys and girls, young men, young women, to step in and help. If you help and you're a helper, you will probably always be able to find a job. People that can be helpful tend to find employment. I can say this certainly from a church standpoint, from a ministry standpoint. If you are willing to help, you'll always find an opportunity to minister. Because it is the spirit of ministry is to say, "How can I serve you?" I think that helping is highly underrated. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, "Helping is highly underrated"? I think some of it is the word. The word help, the word helping. It just feels weak. It feels kind of wimpy. Mommy's little helper. Let's put the toys away. That's what I think of. Like this has like a childish connotation, which is really unhelpful because helping is so very important. And so for the rest of July, these 4 weeks in July that we're here together inside, we're going to be focusing on a man in the New Testament who is mostly known as being an encourager, but he's actually also one of the all-time great helpers of the Bible. And he doesn't get nearly enough credit or attention. And his name, of course, as you saw in the bumper, is Barnabas. Now, if he's not familiar to you or you're thinking, "I'm not even exactly sure who Barnabas is," let me share with you. You're not alone. Let me share with you some of the responses I got when I was telling people. People say, "Oh, what are we going to..." This happens every series. Like the Ecclesia series was rather long. People are like, "What are we doing next?" And so as I was telling people, I said, "We're going to do something on Barnabas." These are some of the reactions I got. "Who?" That was pretty common. I had someone actually say this to me: "I've never even heard a single message on Barnabas, let alone an entire series. This should be interesting." The one I got pretty frequently also was, that was Paul's ministry partner, right? And it's true that Barnabas kind of gets overshadowed by Saul/Paul in the book of Acts. They work together on a missionary journey that we're going to be getting into next week. But in his own right, to use our language, in his own right, Barnabas is a spiritual rock star. He is a really big deal. And so we're going to focus on him. And my heart's desire is this, that as we get to know him over this next month, that we discover the riches of this man of God. This is a character study on the man Barnabas, and that we are compelled by the Spirit of God to begin to, in greater ways, imitate his priorities, his attitude, his decisions, his behavior, because he is worthy of imitation. So can we pray together before we jump into Scripture? Lord, thank you for people like Barnabas that we can learn from and that we can imitate Lord, we know that that brings glory and honor to you because he was a righteous man of God. Help us as we dig into your word to get all that we can from this life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn to Acts chapter 4 if you have your paper Bible? Acts chapter 4 if you have your electronic Bible? Still Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4, we get introduced to Barnabas for the very first time, and it's almost like a when Luke writes the Gospel of Luke, then Luke writes Acts. It's kind of like an A and a B that fit together. When Luke is writing Acts, he mentions Barnabas in chapter 4, but it's almost like an afterthought. He actually is an example of a practice. Luke uses him as an example of a practice that takes place in the early church. Look with me starting in verse 32, Acts chapter 4. This is Luke writing. He says this: "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Can you say those six words with me? Great grace was upon them all. That's my prayer for us. Verse 34. "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." Verse 36. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. See what I mean? It's not like Luke introduces him, like, we want you to get to know this new character. He's just saying, hey, this is what the early church used to do to make sure that people's needs were met. And by the way, here's an example of it. It was this man, Barnabas. Could have used anybody, but he chose specifically to use Barnabas because of the way that Barnabas plays into the rest of this writing, the book of Acts. Four things about Barnabas in this section. If you're taking the notes on the app or in your grace guide, let me give them to you. Number one, Barnabas is a Levite. He is a Levite. Levite means that he's from the tribe of Levi. There are 12 tribes in Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, the first four. He's a Levite. The Levites became the priestly tribe. They became the line where you have Moses and Aaron and all the those that worked in the tabernacle all come from the tribe of Levi. So we understand that Barnabas was a Levite. So he was Jewish and he was out of that tribe. He was, number two, he was from Cyprus. He was from Cyprus. Cyprus is an island in the eastern Mediterranean Sea, and it is just off the coast, just off the western coast of Syria, which will play into the narrative about Barnabas later. Number three, he is an encourager. He is an encourager, or he was an encourager. His actual name is Joseph, who also happens to be a tremendous helper in his own right, named after the patriarch Joseph. But he goes by Barnabas, which was a nickname meaning son of encouragement, and it was given to him by the apostles. They gave him the nickname. And then number four, Barnabas was generous. Barnabas was generous. Text says that he sold a field that he owned, and he took the proceeds from that sale, and he brought it, and he laid it at the apostles' feet so that they could distribute to anyone who had need. It's interesting that Barnabas is a Levite, but it doesn't have a lot to do with where we're going in this series on helping. Being from Cyprus plays into other events, as I mentioned earlier, but what's really important out of Acts chapter 4 in regard to Barnabas is the fact that he is an encourager and that he is generous. Barnabas was an encourager to the degree that people, the leaders of this new thing called the ecclesia, the church, they recognized that he was such an encourager that they changed his name. They gave him a nickname based on his personality quality of being an encourager. So my question for you is, how encouraging do you have to be to get a name change? The guy must have been phenomenally encouraging. Just always, I think of, there's a passage in the Proverbs that talks about your mouth being like a fountain of life. I just think that he must have just been this constant well of refreshing to the people around him. speaking life, encouraging them, building them up. You know, we use qualities, we use characteristics to refer to one another, don't we? Anybody ever been called Wendy Weiner? Or Shorty? Loudmouth? We use, but we almost always do it negatively. We don't say, oh, you're so peaceful, I'm going to start calling you peace every time I see you, men. We don't normally do that. But that's this guy. That's who Barnabas was. He was so encouraging. He wasn't annoying or whiny or loud or short. He was just this fountain of life to other people around him. The specific word for encouragement in the text is extremely similar to a word that we use for the Holy Spirit. And that word is comforter. It's an exhortation, an admonition, a source of comfort. Barnabas can be translated, that word can be translated, son of consolation. This man had a supernatural capacity to come alongside others and comfort them, just like the Holy Spirit does. I read this and I just want to be friends with someone like Barnabas. I want to hang out with Barnabas. You ever been around people that, whether you're with them for a long time or a short period of time, you're with them and you just immediately feel better having had that interaction, whether it's a word or they give you a hug or they just look at you and you feel recognized and affirmed in who you are. That's the way Barnabas was. He's just life-giving wherever he goes, blessing people. On top of that, the guy is extremely generous. He's willing to part with the proceeds of this sale. He makes this, you know, this transaction, takes all of the proceeds, the full proceeds, this is important, and he lays it at the apostles' feet. The reason we know that he brought everything and gave it to them that he made on the sale of this land is that if you continue to read into chapter 5, we learn about another couple who did a similar transaction called Ananias and Sapphira. And they do the same deal. They sell something and they lay their proceeds at the apostles' feet, but they do so duplicitously. They are withholding some of that which they received, and they act like they're being super spiritual, but they're not. They're actually being kind of deceptive. And when they get called out on it, of course, they confess and everything's good. They get called out on it, and they lie on top of their lie, and they both drop dead. That, by the way, that's not the early church that we want to be, amen? We don't want to be that early church. We'd be in the papers, though, wouldn't we? Did you hear what happened over at Grace? Yeah, they're changing the name from Grace to something else. All the chapters and verses in our Bibles are put on later. They weren't part of the original text, so if you were reading this without chapters and verses, you would go right into the story of the story of Barnabas giving all the money to the story of Ananias and Sapphira being deceitful. So he gives all this money, just lays it down at the apostles' feet. He's probably a leader already. Probably he's known already within the church because the apostles are the ones that gave him the nickname. But he was, from the very beginning of his leadership within the church, he is leading by example. He's not the kind of guy that says, yeah, you all need to give more. He's a guy that was living it out and being able to say effectively by his examples, do as I do, turning over generously that which he received from the sale of this property. He was an encourager, he was generous, and he was a helper. This is his introduction in the scriptures, and it's a great one. I really, really like this guy. He is very special to me, and I will share more on that as we get into the other weeks, but there's things that he does that just so resonate with my spirit. You ever read through the Bible and you're just like, I really like this guy, you know, Barnabas is one of those for me, you know, kind of like King Ahab. I'm just like, yes, I love this guy. Just kidding. Making sure you're paying attention. But the thing with Barnabas is, and there's a lot of people in the Bible that are like this, there's a lot of people in our lives that are like this. He's someone that we appreciate, but we don't necessarily think to imitate. But the church, the ecclesia, needs so many more people who are willing to follow the example of people like Barnabas, who are willing to do the helping work, the behind-the-scenes work of encouragement, the behind-the-scenes work of generosity. Because I believe that both of those are kind of overshadowed by other more popular, more visible types of giftings, types of activities. Write this down. Encouragement is usually quiet and overlooked. It's a quiet and overlooked practice to be an encouragement. Now, I hope that when you go to a church service and the person with the microphone you know, and the platform is able to encourage you. But my personal conviction is that most really genuinely helpful encouragement is delivered in a one-on-one kind of a setting. It's the thoughtful pulling you aside, saying something to you. Hey, I was reading the scriptures this morning and I thought about your journey. I just wanted to share this with you. It's the dropping the card in the mail or sending a text when the Lord prompts it. It's that kind of subtle, just very natural but not very showy ways of interacting. And the church needs people like that, more and more and more people like that. Generosity is the same way. Generosity is an attribute that seems to thrive out of the spotlight. And as with encouragement, there needs to be more generosity within the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about the, I sold a piece of land and I brought the proceeds and I laid it at the apostles' feet. Not just that. Not just the big sacrificial giving moments, although we love those and that's great. And if you have any land that you want to dispose of, we'll be happy to distribute those proceeds to those who need them. Absolutely. But that's not what I mean. I feel like the church has just as much of a need for the small and subtle ways of generosity. Because the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be known as a group of people with great liberality in giving. Should not we be recognized as those who are always looking for opportunities to give and be generous? We serve a God who gives and gives and gives and gives. And in response to his giving to us, we should be the same way, whether we're supporting ministries or we're keeping missionaries on the field or we're helping those that have less than us or we're even tipping generously at restaurants. When I was in, no, it's not me, I wasn't there. When my children were in college, all three of them served for a period of time at the same restaurant. It was a chain restaurant in the town that the college was that they went to, and they told me, each of them individually at different times told me, nobody wants to work the Sunday lunch shift at the restaurant. And initially I thought, no way, are you serious? That can't be right. But I have since heard that repeated many, many times by others who work in the food service industry, that if I could say it so bluntly, that Christians or religious people are cruddy tippers. Doesn't that just, this is not about tipping. I could have held a whole message about tipping. This is not about tipping. But if you're going to tip, tip in the same way that you would want to be tipped. Tip with generosity. Tip like one who says, my God's not poor. I want to bless you. Tip in such a way that person says, I want to work the Sunday lunch shift next week. Barnabas is a tremendous role model. And I'm not stating this in any kind of a prophetic way, but my observation is that the church in the West, the church in the United States in particular, we love and celebrate and emulate and copy those who are like the Apostle Paul. Those who are the speakers, those who are the writers, those who have the platform and the lights and the position. And I'm not suggesting that there's anything wrong with appreciating the gifts of another, but I would say this, that God is very interested in his church having a lot of people that are focused on men like Barnabas and want to be like him, following his example. I think if we kind of not dismissed in a negative way, but just didn't focus on the Pauls so much and look to the Barnabases, two things would happen. Number one, every ministry mosaic of every church would be filled. Because when someone's attitude is, how can I help? What can I do to serve? There is never a shortage of opportunities to put people in places where they can make a difference in the lives of others. So I think every ministry mosaic, every body, local church body would be filled full of folks getting things done and reaching others for Christ because we have a Barnabas spirit. But the second thing is this, that the Lord, if we all had this attitude, we're going to be like Barnabas, that's us. I think if that was us, I think the Lord not only would be pleased with that and would use our willingness to serve, but he would also, in his way and in his time, select some of those Barnabases for platforms to be like Paul and Peter and Apollos and John. He knows where we live. We don't have to self-promote. He can raise us up and release us to do something more visible, something more attractional, if that is his plan. But I think our responsibility is to say, Lord, how can I serve? What can I do to help? The scriptures are full of stories about different individuals, obviously, and there's everything right about us trying to emulate them, to look at them, especially if they're the right kinds of people, not Ahab, but the right kinds of people. We want to focus on them. That's why we get their stories when they're righteous and they're men of God and women of God. We need to say, yeah, Lord, make me like a Barnabas. We should aspire to the courage of David and the leadership of Moses and the passion of Elijah and the faith of Noah. We should desire to have a closeness with Jesus like John did, or have a vision for the nations like the Apostle Paul, or the faithfulness of Mary Magdalene. But in all of our desiring and all of our aspiring, we must not ignore the spiritual giants whose ministries are less obvious but no less significant. We need to be Barnabases, every one of us. Would you turn to the person next to you and say, I think you should be Barnabas? I do. I think you should. And you should say that to me. I think I should.
You should be Barnabas.
Thank you. Appreciate that. You ruined my pregnant pause. I have some Barnabas homework for you. I know it's summertime, but it's easy. You can do this. Here's what I'd like you to do, and I'm going to be giving out some homework every week during this series. This is really, really simple, but it will take some intentionality on your part. Between now and next Saturday, so Sunday all the way through to next Saturday, that's 7 days, I would like you to be Barnabas. And the way that I would like you to do it is just to look for someone to either encourage or to be generous with. It may mean dropping a card, it may mean stopping by someone's house, picking up the phone, it may mean sliding somebody a $20 bill that looks like they could use some help. It may be tipping extravagantly. It may be filling somebody's gas tank. Just looking for a way to be a blessing. Approaching the day, saying in your prayer, Lord, let me cross paths with someone today that I can encourage, that I can be helpful with, that I can be generous to. Here's the deal. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. It is a whole lot easier to introduce people that don't know Christ to Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus, when you're being an encouraging and generous person. I am much more inclined to listen to somebody who is a fountain of life coming out of their mouth. I am much more inclined to pay attention to someone that's seeking to be a blessing by generosity. That should be our attitude and posture as we seek to imitate this man Barnabas. So that God, through this very simple behind-the-scenes helping, encouraging generosity thing, people come to Jesus because we're winsome and warm and inviting and a pleasant person to be with. That's what I want us to be. So can we pray that together? Would you stand with me, please? And I just put an exclamation point on that thing that I just said before we pray. I was just reminded very recently how ready people are to say yes to Jesus. See, I think that one of the things that the enemy always wants us to think is that people are so far away, and certainly many people are very far away. But you and I just don't know. You don't know, and I don't know, that little bit of generosity, that little bit of an encouragement, that little bit of a helpful spirit might be the thing that opens someone's heart to say yes to the Lord. It is happening all the time. In these days in which we live, people are searching for truth, and they are searching for that which is genuine and loving, and that's all we are. We hold the truth in our lives, and we are called to be loving. So just look for them. Don't just see this as homework. See this as an opportunity to minister. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much. You're so faithful and good to us, Lord. Thank you for examples like Barnabas. What a great guy, Lord. There's so much more about him, but even on this introductory part of the scriptures about him, we invite you by your Spirit to change and transform our hearts, that we would think of ourselves as being helpers. How can we encourage? What can we say? What can we do? How can we comfort? How can we give? How can we be generous? How can we help someone else along the way? Lord, it's not 1,000 random acts of kindness. It is the Holy Spirit empowering the people of God to show Jesus to a world that needs. Lord, may that be us. May that be us. for your praise and for your glory. I ask that you would make Grace Church even more so, Lord, as helpful as they are, as helpful as we are, make us even more so. Just an ocean of Barnabas hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before I bless you, I want to just invite you, if you are here, as I just said, there's always people that are searching and trying to find their way to God. And this is a great opportunity to have someone pray with you and share Jesus with you. If you do not know the Lord, you're not on that journey. It's like one of those deals. If you don't know if you're on the journey, then you're probably not. Because the people that know the journey, they know what I'm talking about. If you're not on the journey of following Christ, we would love to pray with you and to share him with you and to give you a Bible and to just help you make steps forward to walk with Christ. So as soon as I'm done giving this blessing, we will be here to pray with you and walk with you. And we want you to know that you will not be alone. Amen. Would you extend your hands in front of you? I want to bless you in the name of the Lord before you go. Out of Numbers chapter 6, this is the blessing that God gave Moses to give Aaron to give the people of Israel. And we receive it upon ourselves. Grace Church family, friends, and visitors, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, receive this blessing. Amen.
We trust that this message made a difference in your life. If you would like more information about Grace Church, be sure to connect with us by visiting grace417.com or connect with us by filling out a connection card on our app.